hear that message today.
The Todd Alma Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm a pretty great multitasker. I can wash dishes and do laundry.
I can roller skate while walking my dog.
I can even order lunch while doing my homework. But I can't use my phone while driving. A distracted driver is one of the leading causes of death in the United States. So when it comes to driving, please, don't be a multitasker.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
It is absolutely disgusting for conservatives to suggest that because someone is poor or struggling, that they lack judgment. If anybody needs morality policing, it's rich folks, for crying out loud, not people who are struggling to put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media network. It's official. Governor Tony Evers proclaims this June is Pride Month in Wisconsin. But did you know the state has a long history of activism alongside LGBTQ communities and allies? The Civic Media Radio Network supports the impact and celebrations and is sharing thoughtful stories all month long.
Photographs, paperwork, and stories about the LGBTQ plus movement in our state now being collected for the Wisconsin First Archive Project. It's a new effort to preserve and celebrate the history and national legacy of Wisconsin as the first state to prohibit discrimination based on sexual orientation. Organizers say providing this history in one place will improve awareness and keep these memories alive. The effort is being led by Our Lives Media, a Madison-based nonprofit which will offer a free online archive. It's a proud moment during this Pride Month to remember the fight for equal rights includes equality for all. I'm Terry Barr.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. Hey, we're gonna have a
good day. This is the Empowered Caregiver Show. If you are a caregiver or know someone who is, this show is meant to uplift you through education and support, while also lifting up every caregiver's invaluable role in society. Now, here is the Empowered Caregiver and your host, Liza Helen Brand.
You are listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Liza Helen Brand. And I want to start off by saying April is Autism Acceptance Month. So happy Autism Acceptance Month. Easy for me to say. Later in this show, I'm going to talk a little bit more about the history of the Autism Acceptance Month and how we went from autism awareness to autism acceptance and where we are now. However, right now, I would like to talk about another nationally recognized day, and that is National Siblings Day on April 10th. This U.S. holiday was conceived by Claudia Evert back in 1995 to honor the memory of her brother and sister, who both unfortunately passed away at early ages. To me, I like the fact that Autism Acceptance Month and National Sibling Day are celebrated in the same month because a lot of people with autism have siblings. And the role of being a sibling to someone with autism can be challenging and rewarding. It is one in which many siblings feel like their needs get ignored and the whole family dynamic revolves around the child with autism. At least I know that there were moments in our journey, me having a son with autism as well, he is 20 this year, where my kids felt, I'm going to say neglected. That might not be fair, but they definitely felt like their world revolved around their brother with autism. And I tried my hardest, I tried my best to let all my kids know that they were loved and special and important and unique in their own ways. But having a sibling with autism, it definitely impacts the entire family. And I remember having a conversation with them just saying, hey, listen, guys, I know how you feel. I know what this must feel like to be in your shoes and have some struggles and feel like you're left out and everything revolves around your brother. But I just want to let you know it's because I love you, because I care about you, I am putting this emphasis and focus on your brother, getting him all of the treatments, the OT, the speech, the vision therapy, the social skills, the on and on and on, because one day I'm not going to be here. And the more I can do now to get him independent and in place, quite frankly, the less responsibility will fall on you as adults. And so I don't know if that was any words of comfort to them at the moment, but I just wanted them to understand that their long-term well-being was taken into consideration in the things that I was doing to try to help their brother. And I know this is the case for a lot of families, and I could not think of a better guest to talk about this subject than Harriet Redmond, the founder of Wisconsin's. She has a son with a disability and also a daughter that does not have a disability but grew up in very much in the same dynamic. And she was one that was really able to recognize the need of the sibling, and hats off to her for really digging into that role, because what she ended up doing has helped, I'm going to say, thousands of people throughout the year, thousands of siblings in that relationship that has a brother or sister with a disability. So I would like to welcome Harriet to the show today. Thank you so much, Harriet, for being here with me.
Thank you, Liza. This is one of my favorite topics.
Yes, you live it, right? You live it. So you have an organization called Wisconsin's. Could you let listeners know a little bit more about what you do?
Of course. Well, the organization is over 25 years old. And as you commented, I founded the organization back then because I have a son with disabilities and he has a older sister. She was 3 years old when he was born, and we learned about his multiple disabilities. Autism was a piece of that, but cerebral palsy and some other brain disorders became part of the complexity of his disability. And I knew when that diagnosis happened that it would have an impact on our family. And in particular, I wanted to know, well, how is this going to impact his sister, who was 3 years old at that time? And in digging around to find programs, information, anything, I found that there was just very, very little about the impact on siblings and how to parent a child who was growing up with someone with a disability. So one thing led to another, and it was apparent that when siblings have a chance to connect with each other and to the information that they need, they benefit. They benefit as children, but they also benefit as adults. So WisconsibS began up here in Appleton, Wisconsin, as an opportunity for siblings to connect with each other and to the resources they need from childhood all the way through adulthood. So the organization has been growing and expanding now to include even more of Wisconsin through our SIB shops, through SIB camps that we offer in the summertime, both day camp and overnight camps, through a program called SIBSAC, which is for the youngest, those 3 to 5 year olds, and then to adults who have concerns about what does happen after mom and dad are gone, or mom and dad are gone and I need support. I need to connect with other siblings, but I also need to connect with the resources available in my local community. So WisconsibS was developed to address all those kinds of issues. Well, and one of the things we celebrate is National Siblings Day.
Oh, I bet. It's got to be a big day for everyone there at WisconsibS. And I love that a lot of things, but one that you cover the whole age range, like you said, from the earliest years, which is so crucial because that's got to be really hard for parents to know how to navigate that when you're talking about toddlers, all the way up into adulthood where we're at now. And I think I'm going to somehow figure out how I put WisconsibS in my will, or at least those resources that, hey, kids, this is where you go, because that has to, again, be another extremely overwhelming time for siblings when they start to realize, you know, this responsibility will most likely fall on me in some way, shape, or form. And I know absolutely nothing about, you know, where to go and what I'm supposed to do. So,
yeah, absolutely. We offer a program called Journey Forward, which is for adult siblings, and it's a workshop. We're also going to be soon announcing an online version of that as well. But it gives siblings, again, that opportunity to connect with each other, but also, very importantly, the resources in their community that will provide them information, support, and solutions to some of the issues that they're facing as adults.
Well, and that's the second part of it when you said the opportunity to connect, because there's the resources and there's the educational part. That's all wonderful, much needed. But there's also got to be times where these siblings feel alone and they don't have people to connect with or people that are in their shoes. So having this opportunity to get together with other kids, friends that are going through the same thing must be huge.
It is. And as you said earlier, a parent can acknowledge and recognize the role of their sibling children, but that is, and that's very important, but it's even better when they can also connect with other siblings and have some of those conversations. Sometimes when we've had our SIB shops and kids are talking about the issues that they're concerned about, it gives them some practice so that they can go to their parents and express some of those concerns as well. That communication is vital, and our adult siblings know just how important it is for parents and adult siblings to communicate with one another about the issues of caring for their brothers and sisters, because that empowered caregiver is definitely a part of the roles that siblings play. And having that open communication is vital.
Absolutely. And not only to connect with just going back a step, to connect with others that are in similar situations. But my son had went to several of your SIB camps, and you know what? He just had fun. He just had fun without having to worry about his brother and his brother's needs and, you know, can his brother do this and so on and so forth. It was all about him. And wow, did he love that.
Yes, absolutely. That fun is definitely embedded in all of our programs, including our Journey Forward for Adults.
That is wonderful and such a valuable resource. But I want to ask you one final question. What mm-hmm. advice would you give parents that have multiple children with one of them having a disability?
I think acknowledging that siblings have many different roles and recognizing that they're not miniature parents, that they have their own roles, and to listen to them. They see things that parents won't see. They understand things differently than parents do. So parents benefit when they listen to their sibling children, and sibling children benefit when they're confident and they trust their parents to listen to them. So listening and acknowledging sibling children is vital, even if those sibling children are now adults.
Exactly. And you know, that took some learning on my part, right? Because I was always the smart one that knew everything. And it turns out that my son that was supporting his brother with autism, he had some words of wisdom for me as well. So definitely worth listening to and hearing their needs. And I just want to thank you, Harriet, for joining me today and for the work that you do.
Absolutely.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Native American issues are human issues. Join Robert Plant with Native Roots for their program Awake at their new time of 9 p.m. Monday through Friday. Awake is proudly sponsored by Wisconsin Department of Children and Families.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think he's right. Because now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand. National Siblings Day is on April 10th, and to help me celebrate, I am joined now with Elise Oler, a WisconSib participant. WisconSibs is an organization that originated out of the Fox Valley area and is now covering multiple parts of the state. They have tons of amazing programs that support siblings that have a brother or a sister with disabilities. First segment, I had the opportunity to speak with Harriet Redmond, the founder of WisconSibs. If you missed that interview, you can find it at civicmedia.us or check it out on the podcast format, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts. We will be there sitting waiting for you. Great information. If you have a child with a disability, and there is also a sibling in the family as well. But I want to speak with Elise. I cannot wait to hear about Elise's experience, although I have a son with autism and he has a younger brother. I think, I don't know if it's being a male or what it is. He's pretty tight-lipped. He's. I think he will get there. I think he is a strong advocate and he has a great heart and he loves and cares about his brother, but he's a teenage boy, so nothing he wants to talk about these days. So thank you, Elise, for being the voice for the siblings today. What I would like to know is a little bit more about your personal experience growing up with a sibling with a disability. What was it like for you?
My brother, we were always close when we were younger, and it was different because he always had therapists coming in and out, and sometimes they wouldn't know what he needed exactly, and I was always like, no, this is what he needs. But I would like try and intervene, even if it wasn't always helpful, I thought I was being helpful. But from little on, we were always pretty close.
How far apart are you in age? I'm just curious.
3 years.
3 years.
So he's 13.
He's 13 and you're 16.
16.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how has your relationship changed? Are you still really close, or now that you're a teenager, is he just more in the annoying brother category?
He kind of goes off on his own a lot. He used to hang out with me more, but now as he's older, he just kind of like drifts away.
But we still talk. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. So what has this experience taught you?
I would say it taught me how to be more compassionate and recognize that you don't really know what anyone's going through, because not all disabilities are visible to someone's eye. So you might not know exactly what someone's going through or what their sibling's going through.
I love that. So you're saying wherever you're out and in the community, you probably always have that in the back of your mind, that this person may have their own set of challenges that I know nothing about. Therefore, it opens you up to more compassion, like you said. So that is wonderful. I'm curious, do you have any idea what you would like to do as your career choice when you get older? Would it be something in this field, or are you running in the opposite direction? And I wouldn't blame you if you were.
It kind of not completely opposite direction, but kind of the same direction, but not working with the individual, rather the science behind it. But I want to do something in genetics, like thinking, because I know a lot of times like disabilities can be genetic. And it's interesting to me to research the connection in between. So I was thinking like a geneticist, something in the medical field, probably.
Wow, that's admirable. That is really exciting. And, you know, it just got me to think, how many people out there, how many advancements have we made because of the siblings, because there was somebody that had a brother or sister with a disability, and they went on to become a therapist, to become an advocate, to work in the field of genetics and all the different areas. So it is really, I'm going to say the siblings play a big role in the future and what's being offered and what's being done based on their personal experience. So hats off to you. And I think you would have a lot of great things to offer the world to come. So I can't wait to see, you know, where the future lies for you. What a big ambition. I am curious, though. What are some of your fears when it comes to the future?
I would say some of my fears are like, I don't really like to think about this, but eventually one day, what's going to happen when my parents aren't here? Who's going to take their responsibility? And I have two other siblings. Well, I have three siblings, but two others that don't have a disability. And like one of us, I would assume, or a team of us will probably end up caring for him.
Well, that's wonderful that you have the support, because it's a lot to take out on your own, I can imagine. Also wondering, what is the greatest joy or strength, I guess you could say, in having this relationship, having a sibling with a disability?
My brother is insanely smart, so it's always nice to have someone who is like basically a mini Google, where you ask him a question, he knows the answer. And it's been helpful with even school. Like, I don't know something, he can tell me about it. I can relive the lesson at home. And we can talk about things that we both are interested in and bounce off each other. And it's
That is a great asset to have a sibling with a superpower like that. My son is able to remember dates, like every date. So I could say, what happened August 14th of 2007? And he can tell me what happened and what he was wearing. Yeah. And so that's helpful for me as somebody that can't remember what I did 5 minutes ago, to have that built-in calendar. I wish I could take them with me wherever I go. Before we end, I always like to ask about what advice would you give? What would you like to share with other siblings that you think could help them in their journey?
I would say find connections, because you're not alone. And I did that through Wisconsin's, and I found friends who were going through similar things.
Elise, can you tell me about your experience with Wisconsin's?
I started doing the sib shops when I was like 6 years old. We got my little brother, he's 5 right now, but when he was younger, we got him a sib sack. But my other sister did some sib shops here and there, but I wanted to go all out, and I wanted to do all the camps, all the sib shops, all the activities, and I did that. So
are you still involved in Wisconsin's, or what do you think your role will be with them going forward?
I do the volunteering at the SIB Days of Summer, the day camp, and that's been really fun too. And especially as my youngest brother gets old enough to go, it'll be.
Yes, that's exciting. And I bet Harriet is thrilled to have you, because having those siblings is such a huge part, and your experience and your wisdom that you can share with the younger kids is invaluable. So thank you for your work, and good luck on your future endeavors. You are listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand. When I come back, I'm going to be speaking with Stephanie Prim from Love, Inc. Love, Inc. is another organization that supports adults with disabilities, and Stephanie has a brother with autism that she's the primary caretaker of, and we are going to learn about her experiences and what she can share with you.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Biden trying to reassure Democrats that he is the man to take on former President Donald Trump while acknowledging his subpar performance in Thursday's debate.
I don't walk as easy as I used to. I don't speak as smoothly as I used to. I don't debate as well as I used to. But I know what I do know. I know how to tell the truth.
The New York Times editorial board called on Biden to exit the race. Former President Trump said the election's a choice between competence and incompetence. There was no ruling from the Supreme Court Friday regarding Trump's criminal immunity claim, but the court did rule that laws banning people from sleeping outside in public spaces are not cruel and unusual punishment. The TSA expects that yesterday was the busiest day in its history, as major airlines continue to predict significant increases in the number of July 4th air travelers. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Another Brewers Grand Slam. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers beat the Cubs 4-2 here at American Family Field. Three Brewers have now hit Grand Slams this week. Reese Hoskins, Jake Bauer, and this time it was rookie Jackson Churio, bottom of the fourth on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
The 1-2, Churio in the air. Left field. It is gone. They've done it again. The Grand Slam crew.
It's Churio's first career Grand Slam. Pat Murphy on the 20-year-old's progress.
You've watched it. You know, the kid is learning, and he's made the most of his opportunities lately, and you can see why. You know, our people decided to sign him long term.
The Cubs fall to 38-45 on the season and remain in last place. Cubs manager Craig Counsell.
I think we got to plan on scoring more runs. You know, we've got to score more runs. No question about it. That's a part of this for sure.
Again, the Brewers with a 4-2 win from American Family Field with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, chance of showers, otherwise mostly sunny, highs near 81. Mostly clear tonight, a low around 51. Sunshine, 72 for Sunday. Mid-70s Monday with mostly cloudy skies. Showers and thunderstorms are possible Monday night with a low around 59.
Currently, 72 degrees.
I encourage listeners to go to wisconsincaregiver.org. You have access to online library of short courses, skills training, useful local resources, and support groups, all accessible from your computer, tablet, or smartphone. At wisconsincaregiver.org, you can find information about how to join the Wisconsin Family and Caregiver Support Alliance. Anyone can be a part of this alliance to start making the difference in the lives of caregivers today. wisconsincaregiver.org.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes I'll come back from a concert with my kid or a dinner with my husband, and I'll think, man, it would be nice to find something to do that doesn't cost so gosh darn much. Today, I have a tip for something to fill your time and your heart, but not drain your wallet. Volunteering. Now hear me out. There's been a lot of research on this. It shows that volunteering can help you feel less stressed, less down, less worried. You can do it with your church or food bank. You can look for events that align with your interests. We love a Ren Fair and a beer festival over here. Volunteering can build social connections. It helps people feel less lonely, and that can keep you healthier and living longer. And when you volunteer, your brain releases all these great chemicals like serotonin or dopamine, things that just make you feel good. For more feel-good money tips, check out my videos at Work Money Media on YouTube. This is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
The Todd Alba Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that. Man, if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
On the next show, it's Motown Monday, and I'll be joined by South Carolina Congressman Jim Clyburn. We'll discuss some of the issues that are impacting you and I every day.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You are listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Liza Hallenbrand. I would like to thank Harriet Redman and Elise from WisConsin's for joining me today and sharing their story about the great work that WisConsin's does, and then also coming to celebrate National Siblings Day, which is April 10th. And on that note, I would like to welcome my next guest, Stephanie Prim from Love, Inc. Welcome, Stephanie.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Yes. So I am such a fan of what Love, Inc. does. So I have you on for two reasons. I'm going to want a two for one today. One, to talk about Love, Inc. and the great work that they do. But then also, in honor of National Siblings Day, I know that you have a unique and special story and relationship with your brother who has autism. So I would love to learn from your wisdom and experiences on what that is like. But before we go into that personal story, let's talk a little bit about Love, Inc. Can you let listeners know what Love, Inc.'s is and share a little bit about what makes it unique?
Yeah, thank you, Liza. So we are a nonprofit, and in a lot of ways, we're like a lot of organizations that serve folks with disabilities. We provide social activities and educational activities. We also have a big focus on inclusion. That's actually part of our name, Living Our Visions Inclusively. But something that makes us unique in the service world that we reside in is that everything that we do is designed by the individuals we support and their caregivers, their family caregivers. So we don't come in with our own solutions or a one-size-fits-all sort of approach. We're actually trying to work within the community and understand their needs and design supports and services based on those needs.
That's wonderful, because in the world of disabilities, one size never fits all, does it?
Right. No, absolutely.
So can you give me an example of what that might look like when you have a family that calls you up and says, hey, I think you would be a great fit for us. Let's get together. What does that look like from there?
Sure. Yeah. So we encourage families to reach out to our organization because there's just so much that we have to offer. And also we want to hear from families if there's a need out there that they don't see other providers meeting that they want to talk about or share with us, because that's how we come up with our ideas. But right now I'm in the middle of a series of moving on workshops. And those were designed about 10 years ago by a group of families who their loved ones wanted to move out and be independent, but they didn't have the resources or the tools or even understand how to start that process. And so together we designed this toolkit to allow families to kind of navigate that process. And so if a family contacts me and says, I'm trying to figure out my loved one's future, right? Where are they going to live? How are they going to support themselves? How are they going to pay for all of it? I would say, look, we have this workshop. It's going to be coming up in a couple of months. Here's some more information about it. Here's what we charge. If you want to learn more, I'd be happy to connect you with a family who's already gone through that process, and they can share more about how the experience was helpful for them, and we take it from there. So we really let families lead the way. We're very person-centered in all of our approaches.
Well, I love that you make that connection with families, too, because there's so many organizations that, you know, I've sent my son to where I think we've been in different silos, where if I could have made that connection with the family, it would have helped both of us out.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I love that. Now, I know a little bit about the history of Love, Inc. It really started as a group of parents, right?
Absolutely.
And what do you envision the future of Love, Inc. looking like? Because you guys have really taken off and I couldn't be happier for you.
Yeah. So amazingly, during the last few years, we've rapidly expanded. And that is so delightful and something I'm very, very proud of. And I want to make sure that as we expand and grow throughout the state, that we're still paying attention to the fundamentals. So for us, 2024 is going to be all about focusing on developing relationships among our community, right? Because that is where it all started. And those relationships are what helps families navigate the rockier moments, right? Because we can't prevent bad things from happening. If we could, we would be bazillionaires.
Right.
But we can provide support and resources to families and create community where even if a family has a problem that's really difficult, maybe their loved one gets a new health diagnosis that's really challenging to deal with, they don't feel alone in that. And we know after the pandemic, social isolation and loneliness is skyrocketing. And so if we can be part of addressing that for families in our community, that's some of the most important work we can be doing right now, because loneliness is deadly, quite literally, for families sometimes.
It is. And, you know, I kind of struggle a little bit even in doing this show when you talk about caregiving. There are so many different avenues that you can go, from long-term planning to resources to legislation that's being proposed that supports family caregivers. But my heart always kind of goes back to mental health, because mm-hmm. I know that there's just so many people struggling and so many conversations that need to be had. And a lot of people just don't go out there and start talking mental health, right? It's not something you talk about at the coffee shop when you meet with your friends or whatnot. So I love the work that you're doing around that and to support individuals in, you know, their mental health journey, especially those with disabilities or those on their autism spectrum. That can be really hard to navigate, and the resources are few and far between.
Right.
Yeah. So I can't thank you enough personally, because I have a son we had talked about earlier that I can't wait for the connection for him in Love, Inc. when the time comes.
Yeah.
And a big component of that is the community, getting involved in the community, getting the friendships and the support to support him not only in his daily needs, but also the mental health, the big component of it. I don't want him to be lonely and stuck in an apartment.
Right.
Yes. Right. So how can individuals with disabilities and families benefit from connecting with Love, Dane?
Yeah. So Love, Inc. is doing a whole lot of...
Let me correct that. Sure. Love, Inc., right? Because you started out Love, Dane, and that kind of dates me because you were in Dane County. But this service and this need goes way beyond Dane County. It goes way beyond Wisconsin, quite frankly. Yep. But as you expanded to cover the state, you went from Love, Dane to Love, Inc.
That's correct.
All right. So what is the benefit for individuals with disabilities and families in connecting with Love, Inc.?
Yeah, so we have expanded in a variety of ways. So we've expanded to serving people in multiple communities, right? So we have support and resources to connect with Spanish-speaking families and Native American families from within their community. So that's really important to those communities to have a connection with someone from that community. And so we encourage those families to check out the information on our website. Those are our Family Navigator services. And that service is available to families who have children and adults with disabilities. So that's one way that folks benefit from Love, Inc. But we also offer in the Madison area and increasingly in the Milwaukee area, educational opportunities for individuals and families to learn about different resources in the community, to discuss and connect around different topics. We have an event coming up next month in May in Madison that's going to focus on loneliness and building healthy relationships. And that event is for families, for family caregivers, and for individuals with disabilities that are interested in that topic. We have a great speaker lined up. That's May 21st. We have a Facebook page that people can follow to find out more information. And we also have an email newsletter that goes out every Friday. It's a beautiful newsletter. And you can sign up for that on our website, loveinc.org. But the longest running program that we have in Love, Inc. is something we call the Bridge Builder Project. And that's one-on-one support to an individual who is in their young adulthood, typically, and they've finished their schooling years, and they're trying to figure out what it means to be an adult, how to navigate the world and social relationships adult.
I love what you're saying, and I'm thinking, can I sign up?
Yeah. Right. It's such a common thing for people in those transitional moments to kind of go through a period of like not being sure where to go or how to adapt to the changes in their life. You know, there's a sense of loss when you, even if you hated going to school, there is a loss of that community at school and those folks that you saw every day. And so our Bridge Builders walk one-on-one with these young adults and help them identify, like, what are my interests as an adult? What are the things I want to be part of that aren't just, this is what my family did or this is what I did at school, but like, what am I actually into? My brother is a big tech geek. He has always loved computers, and in particular, he's always loved taking apart computers. So being able to find other people who can talk about CPUs and motherboards and whatever else makes up a computer, because it's not me, it's clearly not me, was a really big part of helping to turn his life around. And he's been part of the same organization in the Madison area for 15 years with other computer geeks. And it has made such a huge difference in his ability to feel like that need is met.
Yeah.
Right? And that he is part of something bigger than just himself.
And he's in control of that too, because just going back, moving out on your own, I think about my daughter who is now going to be 30, but she went at 19 and moved across the country to LA. And I think at the end of her first week, she sent me a text, something to the effect of, "Mom, I literally have to Google everything." You know,
it's, right.
And this is a neurotypical kid that went out there with some kind of plan.
Yeah.
You know, so for those that may not even had the opportunity to explore what that looks like, it's so great to have that resource. Yeah. And I think too about so many of these young adults, how their days were programmed for them. out of the gate. They woke up and they just did everything mom, dad, or who caregiver said to do throughout the day until they were set free to have some downtime.
Yep.
And after school, you know, what?
Yeah.
What does that look like?
Right. And graduating to the couch is not good for anybody.
No.
Right. And so finding ways to find meaning. So our Bridge Builder program has in the last 2 years expanded from just the Madison and Dane County area into Milwaukee. So we're also able to work with families in that way and individuals in that way in the Milwaukee area, which is something I'm really excited. We're expanding over there.
That is wonderful. And Milwaukee, watch out, because you, how do I say this? Don't take for granted what is there, right? This is a wonderful resource, and I'm sure there's going to be tons of communities just glomming on to the services available. How can people connect with you?
Yeah, so reach out to us through our website, loveinc.org. There's a, like I said, an email newsletter. We're on Facebook. We have a Facebook page. And if you want to just shoot us an email or give us a call, there's a contact information on our website for all of our staff.
So pretty easy peasy. Do you have wait lists for your programs? Or
for some of them, we do. Yeah. So our Bridge Builder project is, of course, very, very popular. And so we are always connecting with families that are interested. And as we can, we do expand and add additional staff people to address those lists, because we don't want people to be waiting for years and years for their life to start. That's why we started this organization. No one should have to wait years to start living.
Amen to that. You know what? We're going to be coming up on time, but I was going to say two pieces of advice that you would give family caregivers to help them prepare for their loved one's future. But in 30 seconds or less, do you have one great piece of advice?
Yeah. So wherever you are, whatever community that is, I would encourage all family caregivers to seek community of other folks who are family caregivers, because those are the people who are going to understand your day-to-day life. And so finding those people at a Special Olympics event, at church, wherever you can find them.
Wherever it is. Yep. Community is key.
Yes.
News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Deborah Green, a Midwest girl born and raised. I began my career as a social worker, and now I serve as a permanent substitute teacher with a school in Wisconsin. My work with students and youth spans over 30 years. After listening to me talk about my vision for young people, others know how passionate I am about their success. Students are capable of taking on the world and doing something with it. So let's talk about it. Straight talk. No chaser, good people. Enjoy kicking it in the kitchen with me, Deborah Green.
Impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies, because feeling full can sound like this.
How did the interview go?
I did it! I got the job! I can't believe it!
And like this.
Mom, I got first place at the science fair with my volcano project!
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations!
Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
We are family.
You are listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand. So I'm joined here today with Stephanie Prim from Love, Inc., an amazing organization that's here in Madison to support adults with disabilities, and they are rapidly moving throughout the state of Wisconsin. So I would highly recommend that you go to Love, Inc., LOVINC.org, and check out the services and resources that they have available. I cannot forget to mention that April is Autism Awareness Month. Autism Awareness Month was founded in April 1970 by Bernard Rimlin, a psychologist and autism researcher. He chose the month of April to coincide with his son's birthday, as well as the starting of spring, a time for new beginnings. In April 1988, President Ronald Reagan, I wouldn't have guessed this, was the first president to have a presidential proclamation declaring April as Autism National, or excuse me, as National Autism Awareness Month. So I would say it started out as autism awareness, because at one time, autism was pretty not recognized out in the community. I don't know, unless you just recently came here from a different planet, how you can't be aware of autism. So we've kind of, I think, as a society, shifted from autism awareness, which we're all aware, to autism acceptance. So you kind of hear those interchangeably. So I just wanted to give a little history about Autism Awareness Month and where we're at now. Another thing that you see when you speak of autism is the puzzle piece has always kind of been a symbol, and it represented at the time the complexity of autism and reminds us that we're all interconnected. While the puzzle piece has long been recognized as the quote-unquote symbol for autism, there has also been a recent shift there towards alternative symbols. So sometimes you will see things like the infinity symbol or a butterfly symbol or a rainbow, just representing that autism is a spectrum. So it can be difficult to navigate, especially in the world being, you know, politically correct. Are we saying the right thing? Are we doing the right thing? You know what? As long as you're showing your commitment to autism and your openness to how we provide inclusive environments for everyone, then I would say that you're spot on. And so in addition to it being Autism Awareness Month, I shouldn't say in addition to it being Autism Awareness Month, I wanted to make sure that I said that. How could a mother of a son with autism not acknowledge on air this big day, Autism Awareness Month or Acceptance Month? But I also wanted to talk to Stephanie about her personal experience with autism. She has a brother that is on the autism spectrum, and she has played and continues to play a large role in his life, not only as a sister, but taking on some more responsibility in that caregiving role. So, Stephanie, tell me your story. What has it been like having a brother with autism? What has it taught you? I'm sure there's many more questions that'll come up from there, but let's just start with what's the first thing that comes to mind?
Sure. Thanks for the question. You know, something that I grew up with was a brother who was different, right? And that was the first language I had for my brother. And even before I knew he was different, right? Because children don't know what normal is, right? He's my older brother. And so I grew up knowing things about my brother before I knew what they were or what they meant or that they weren't normal.
Well, you know what? I want to take a step back that would be terrible to ask your age on air. I won't do that.
I'm 40.
But it was a different time, right?
You know,
as I was talking, how we kind of evolved from autism awareness to autism acceptance to how do we create 100% inclusive environments.
Right.
I mean, you were really still at square one.
Yeah. So my brother and I were both born before that proclamation in 1988. I won't say exactly how far before.
Sure.
But we were both born before that. And in fact, when my brother was born, the definition of autism that was understood by physicians was very different than it is today. And it wasn't until he was a teenager that the definition expanded enough to include the type of autism that he experiences. And so for most of his childhood, we knew he was quote unquote different. We knew he had these needs that were not neurotypical, but we didn't necessarily have the right language for it. So he went through a series of diagnoses and treatments before we landed in the autism world.
In the autism world. You are listening to The Empowered Caregiver. I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand, and I am joined here today with Stephanie Prim from Love, Inc., and we are talking about her personal story of being a sibling that has a brother with autism. And so when did your brother get his diagnosis, or what did the early years look like?
Yeah. So my brother was diagnosed when he was 14.
Okay.
So he was already in high school, already had navigated his way through elementary and middle school.
Wow.
And all the difficulties of that. He actually, for part of our elementary years, he had to go to a different school because they didn't have a special education program in our home elementary school. So he had to actually get bused to a different school because that was how it was done in the 80s before the IDEA was passed. So our story is very much of a time and of a place. And growing up, my brother is older than me, like I mentioned. He was my first friend, my first peer, right? He was the person who I looked to help me understand the world. And so in so many ways, that relationship with him is something that I will always treasure because our sibling relationships are from cradle to grave.
Right.
Right. And so longer than your relationship with your parents, longer than your relationship with your spouse or your children, your siblings are going to journey through the decades of life with you. And that's an intense relationship and a long-term relationship. And so as a child, I just loved my brother and I wanted to help him. I wanted to make his life easier when it was hard. And so that was just what I did, right? If he lost something, I went and found it. He lost things every day, all the time. And I went and found it because I could think like he thought, because that was how I learned to think, was through his viewpoint.
I love that. And that, it just makes you a better person at the end of the day. You know, I feel like I've had that connection with my son. I can think like he thinks.
Yeah.
And boy, has that translated to helping so many other people and families. Stephanie, I want to thank you so much for being here today and for sharing your story. We could do a whole nother hour on it, but I'm so glad that you made it in person.
Yes.
Here today.
Yes,
thank you.
So glad to be here. Thank you.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Maggie Dawn.
I'm calling it now before the opinion actually drops. On Monday, the Supreme Court is going to decide that in some situations, American presidents are kings. There's no better place to hear the breakdown.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Are you ready to give your business a kickstart? Reach new heights and boost your sales with WRCO Radio. Give Henry a call today at 608-647-2111.
WRCO, this is Henry. How can I give you the business?
That's 608-647-2111. Let WRCO drive your business to success.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Despite Thursday's debate, the Biden campaign insists the president is not exiting the race. ABC's Mary Alice Parks has more.
They still believe they can win this if they organize, they do this on the ground. I had one interesting conversation I thought was worth noting with a former Bernie Sanders staffer. She now works for Democrats that are really in vulnerable districts. And she said that. She said, put your head down and do the work. She said, my guy had a heart attack. You stay on message, you do the work, you continue to draw a contrast with Trump. That's at least their game plan for now.
The Supreme Court on Friday did not rule on former President Trump's claim of absolute immunity from prosecution. That's expected Monday. The court did overturn about 40 years of deference to federal agencies when it comes to rulemaking. The power to interpret those ambiguous rules now given to the courts. And the TSA screened 2.93 million people yesterday, saying it's the fourth busiest day on record. This is ABC News. NASA insists its astronauts are not stranded at the International Space Station as they troubleshoot issues with the spacecraft.
The two astronauts were only supposed to be gone for about a week after taking off on June 5th, but as their spacecraft has encountered mechanical issues, they've yet to return home.
I want to reiterate and remind folks that Starliner is really designed for a 210-day mission.
NASA's Steve Stitch says they're in no rush.
Starliner remains available in cases of an emergency or a contingency on the space station where the crew would have to return very quickly back to Earth.
No return date has yet been set. Mark Remillard, ABC News.
Federal prosecutors in New York rested their case in the bribery trial of Senator Bob Menendez, alleging the New Jersey Democrat accepted cash in exchange for political favors. He's pleaded not guilty. And the lowest turnout election in Iran's history failed to produce a winner. Iran's announced it will hold a runoff presidential election Friday. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
The Todd Alba Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up.